What would you trade for absolute freedom? On July 29, 1714, 23-year-old Adeline LaRue faces this impossible question as she flees through darkening woods, escaping an arranged marriage that would seal her fate forever. In 18th-century France, a woman's life follows a rigid script: daughter, wife, mother, grave, with no room for dreams beyond survival. But Adeline has always hungered for more, inspired by old Estelle, who whispered of ancient gods who listen when you pray. Desperate and defiant, she kneels in twilight's shadow and offers anything for freedom. When laughter answers from the darkness, she realizes too late she summoned something forbidden. The beautiful stranger with emerald eyes accepts her hastily worded bargain. "You can have my soul when I don't want it anymore." With a kiss tasting of dusk turning to night, the deal is sealed. She gains immortality and escape, but returns home to discover the cruel twist: her own father doesn't recognize her. The darkness has granted exactly what she asked for, then twisted it into a prison far worse than any marriage. She will live forever, but everyone she meets will forget her the moment she leaves their sight. Addie Shedding Adeline, along with her past, discovers the brutal parameters of her existence. She cannot die, age, or starve, yet cannot leave any mark. Doors lock behind her, possessions vanish. Most painfully, every connection dissolves the instant she's out of sight. The early years nearly break her. During a Parisian winter, she collapses from cold and awakens in a cart of corpses. When she claws out, terrifying witnesses, the cart drivers have no memory of placing her there. Her wooden bird, her last connection to home, is gone. Through necessity, Addie becomes resourceful. She learns to steal and discovers she can indirectly affect the world. While she cannot hand someone a drugged drink, she can drug a bottle and let them pour their own poison. She cannot create art, but can inspire it in others. Every July 29th, the darkness, whom she names Luck, visits her. These encounters become her only constant, the only being who remembers her. Their relationship evolves from adversarial to complex, with Luck repeatedly offering to end her suffering if she'll surrender her soul. Despite wavering, Addie refuses, clinging to her freedom and the small joys she finds in art, music, and the changing world. After decades of isolation, Addie discovers a loophole. While memories fade, ideas can take root. In 1806 Venice, artist Matteo sketches her seven freckles like stars. Though he forgets her, the drawing remains, the first crack in her curse. She becomes a muse across centuries, whispering inspiration to artists, writers, and musicians. Fragments persist: seven stars in paintings, a woman with russet hair in poems, haunting melodies. Her night with Matteo influences his masterpiece, The Muse. "Art is about ideas," Addie explains, "and ideas are wilder than memories. They're like weeds, always finding their way up." This becomes her method of leaving footprints, planting seeds of inspiration that outlive memory. It's a bittersweet victory, allowing her to influence the world without ever receiving credit. Luke evolves from antagonist to something far more complicated. Their annual July 29th meetings become the only relationship persisting through time, shifting from adversarial to intellectually stimulating to intimate. By 1872, he rescues her and transports her to Munich for Wagner's opera. Discussing the performance, Addie realizes some artists traded their souls for brief glory. "Time is cruel to artists," Luke explains. "Everyone wants to be remembered." Their shared appreciation for human creativity forms an unexpected bridge. The relationship transforms in 1952 Los Angeles, when their tension culminates in a passionate night together. What truly breaks Addie's resolve? Waking to find him still there, still remembering her, the first time she hasn't felt utterly alone after sleep. By 1970, Luke claims to love her and presents a key to a yellow house in New Orleans. Yet their relationship combusts in 1984 when Addie realizes his softened manner was merely another strategy for surrender. Watching their home burn on Bourbon Street, she tears the wooden ring from her neck, throws it into the ashes, and walks away, beginning a 40-year separation. In March 2014, nearly three centuries into Addie's curse, the impossible happens. At the Last Word bookstore in New York, employee Henry Strauss confronts her about stealing a book. Someone remembers her. Henry is unremarkable, a bookstore employee with dark curls and kind eyes who hunches as if trying to take up less space. Yet to Addie, he's miraculous. When he speaks her name, "Good night, Addie," it's the most beautiful sound she's ever heard. Their relationship develops quickly. Henry shows Addie modern New York, speakeasy arcade bars, underground music clubs, art installations on the High Line. For the first time in centuries, Addie experiences the simple pleasure of planning future meetings, of leaving belongings in someone's drawer. The mystery deepens at an interactive art exhibit. While Addie's marks fade immediately from plexiglass walls, when Henry guides her paint-covered fingers, her drawings remain. She urgently asks him to write her name in a notebook. When it doesn't disappear, he begins documenting her story. What Addie doesn't yet know is that Henry has made his own bargain with the same entity, though with very different terms. While Addie traded her soul for freedom and immortality, Henry Strauss made a far more desperate bargain. Drowning in depression after a rejected marriage proposal, he drunkenly encounters a stranger who remains dry in the pouring rain. This stranger, Luke, in another guise, offers Henry a deal. In exchange for his soul, he will be loved by everyone he meets. Suddenly, his critical parents express pride, strangers approach with unusual interest, and even his ex-fiancée returns professing love. But Henry quickly discovers the curse hidden within this blessing. No one truly sees him anymore. They see only projections of their desires. "I'm perfect because I'm not there at all," he realizes with horror. He has become whoever people want him to be, loved not for who he is, but for what others imagine. The most devastating aspect, unlike Addie's open-ended bargain, Henry sold his soul for just 1 year. The watch Luke gave him counts down his remaining time. Their curses work in perfect, tragic harmony. What Addie wants most is to be remembered, exactly what Henry can do. What Henry craved was to be truly seen, and Addie alone can look at him without the supernatural fog. Their meeting is no coincidence, but part of Luke's larger game. As Henry's September 2014 deadline approaches, Addie offers herself to Luke in exchange for Henry's freedom. "I will be yours as long as you want me by your side." On the deadline night, Henry discovers her sacrifice on a rain-soaked rooftop. As darkness claims him, she makes him promise to remember her. He wakes alive the next morning, memories intact, though Addie is gone. He transforms her stories into The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue, published without an author's name, and dedicated, "I Remember You." After centuries of being forgotten, Addie chooses to be remembered by one person rather than possessed by darkness. Yet her bargain contains a carefully worded trap. She said, "as long as you want me," rather than forever. With centuries of studying Luke's cruelty, she plans to make him tire of her, to break his heart until he casts her off. A year later, Addie visits a London bookstore displaying her story. When Luke appears, seemingly triumphant, he doesn't realize she's begun a new game. Patient and cunning after 300 years, she follows him into the dark, knowing freedom awaits at this final chapter's end.